Welcome to another edition of SoCal Buzz. Any of you that are looking at your business and thinking things aren't going quite the way you'd like to, sales aren't growing the way you would like them to grow, obviously one of the first places you're going to look is your sales organization. And today we have an interview with Lynn White, who's a principal of Velocity Partners. I've known Lynn in the area for a number of years and actually had a chance to work with her on a project last year where sales was one of the first things that we undertook to change. And she came in and through her programs was quite effective at making the changes that were required and getting the sales force back on track. So hopefully any of you who are in a similar position might be able to get some good ideas from Lynn. The music that's opening and closing the show today is actually something called a mashup. I guess it was putting a couple different things together by DJ Dolores of a Gilberto Gil song, Osladam. And hopefully you'll enjoy the music, enjoy the podcast, and I'll catch you on the other side. Thanks. Hi, this is Jim Butts, and welcome to another edition of SoCal Buzz. We've talked to a number of investors, kind of talking about the things that they're doing and their mechanism for investing. We've talked to some early-stage companies, some later-stage companies. And, you know, one of the other things that I said we would do was talk about some real business issues. And one of the things that... whether you're an early stage company or you're a later stage company, especially if you're in that middle ground, there are a number of companies that actually have a real problem because they're looking at what's happening with their revenue numbers and they're not what they want them to be. And the issue really comes down to what's happening with their sales organization. Luckily today, I have Lynn White. Lynn is a principal with Velocity Partners. And we'll talk to her about her experience with sales and the sales process and the kinds of things that... that she's used to seeing and looking at sales. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So take a minute or two and talk a little bit about sort of yourself and Velocity Partners.
Love to. Well, Velocity Partners is a sales and business acceleration firm, and we've been around for about 4.5 years now. And our whole focus is to go into small, mid-sized companies and identify opportunities for increasing revenue, improving cash flow, looking at profits and things along those lines. We have 67 individuals in the company currently and primarily focused in Southern California, although we are branching out up into the Northeast, my good old stomping grounds. And personally, I've been selling for over 20 years. I started my career off as a programmer and quickly moved into the sales arena because I just couldn't be behind the computer all the time. And have been selling technology solutions ever since. Sold over $120 million during my career and about 4.5 years ago started Velocity Partners.
Now, obviously, if you're getting a phone call from somebody, they're not calling you because everything's working really well. I know we've at least worked on one occasion where everything wasn't working well. In that case, when you walk in, what are you generally finding?
That's a loaded question, Jim.
Of course it is.
What am I generally finding?
Right.
When we go into companies, there's a couple things that really pop, that jump out at us when we walk in. And one is that a lot of times the revenue goal that people establish is not a legitimate number. And what I mean by that is it really is that syndrome of just putting the blindfold on and throwing the dart at the dartboard and saying, okay, we're $5 million this year, we're going to be $15 next year. And there's really no strategy or thinking about how exactly you're going to accomplish that. And when I say how, I mean like the nuts and bolts of how much of each product you're going to sell or each service you're going to sell, what the number of units, the revenue, and really identifying that by month and looking at that mix to see if it's going to fulfill on your vision for the company and if it's doable if you try to get $15 million when you're at $5 million now.
Do they, when you walk into a company, do you normally see that they've got sort of like the business plan, marketing plan, sales plan, or is there some mix of it, or they're really shooting it in the dark?
Yeah, it's the good old shoot from the hip syndrome, typically. We occasionally will find some version of a marketing plan that's in there, but again, a marketing plan is useless if you don't know what the product mix is and what the revenue goal is, and that is established with some sense of science, so to speak, right? And there will be some elements of sales strategies in there, but not a full sales strategy plan where you've got territories identified and all the nuts and the bolts of it.
Let's talk about something that's real current with you. Give me an example of something that you're sort of working on without necessarily naming the company, that what you ran into and what the customer's approach was and then how you changed it around.
Well, right now we're working with a security company, and what type of security, we'll just leave it at that. And they have about 138 different products that were listed on their product revenue model. Mm-hmm. And when I went in, I said, hey, what's your product revenue model? And they're like, oh, right here it is. And they hand it to me, and it's a month-by-month layout of the revenue, not the number of units, but the total revenue for each product. And I said, okay, so the revenue goal for this year is, and I'll just throw out a number right now, 20 million. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at, is 20 million achievable within the 138? Well, I noticed a lot of the boxes were empty. And I said, well, what's going on? How come these boxes are empty? They're like, well, we're not going to sell that product this month. And what I ended up finding out was really there was only a handful of products, say maybe 16. Mm-hmm. And the rest were variations where the product was being sold to one user or two users or three mm-hmm. users. So their way of viewing their financial model was completely incorrect. And they're building their marketing plan and their sales plan around that. So we just caught them before they made a major, major costly mistake in building their infrastructure to support that.
You use a term called the product revenue model. I use one where I sit and talk with people and say, let's do a reverse income statement. Let's start with your sales and get down to everything else. But they both lead to the same place. Talk a little bit about, you know, when you're using your approach to product revenue model, of how you sort of make that and then connect the dots.
To the other parts of it, yeah. Well, I just kind of explained how the process of the product revenue model goes. And it's really, it's an iteration, and it typically involves the CEO of the company, at some point the CFO, definitely whoever's in charge of product, whether that's falling in a product team or a marketing team, and some involvement from sales, because sales is ultimately going to own to deliver on that number. What we then do is we'll go into the sales organization and say, okay, so let's look at how your sales is structured. How many sales reps do you have? How are you compensating them? And what kind of process are you using to sell to people to help you get to that number? And we kind of look at all those things at the same time and in conjunction with each other, and we start to bring them into alignment with the product revenue model. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to hire a sales team, you have to know how many people you need in order to achieve the product revenue model, right? Mm-hmm. Well, most people will just start hiring salespeople and having no sense of whether or not they really need one, two, or three. They'll just start hiring and go, well, I've been doing this for 20 years, I know. But when you start taking the number of each product you need to sell, and you really figure out how many phone calls that needs to be and how many deals that needs to be and what the average deal size is, you'll find out that you usually don't need as large a sales team as you think you need.
That's kind of interesting, because most people, the first thing that they think of is, if I had more salespeople, I'd sell so much more.
Yeah, and that is totally not correct. Mm. And it's very costly, and that's what eats away at a lot of the profit that companies can make, and also just the customer profit. So.
Well, it also seems to me that then, you know, once you've sort of got this product revenue model in place, one of the other key components always is compensation drives behavior. So what's the compensation plan look like? So what are your thoughts in that area?
Yeah, that, again, that is an area that we are relentless in when we go into the company. Mm-hmm. We want a very detailed compensation plan with a very detailed job description that has performance metrics that are all, again, everything. It's about alignment, right? It's about, if your revenue goal is 20 million, this is the number of products that you need to sell, this is how many people you need, and this is how we're going to compensate them. And compensation models really are the key to the productivity you're going to see from your sales team.
Sure.
And instinctively, most people know that, but actually getting them built such that they drive the right behavior is where it breaks down inside of companies. So we actually have a template all built that will tell us, it pulls from the product revenue model that we built and feeds right in and tells us how many reps we need, whether we need hunters, account managers, sales associates, whatever type of individual we need. And obviously we look at the industry that you're in and what products you're selling as well. And then we will be able to identify what compensation model is going to incent the correct behavior. Because if you're in a high ticket product, for example, you're not going to probably have as many outbound calls. You're not going to be up in the 80 or 100, mm-hmm. you know, because it's not a transactional sale.
Sure.
So you've got to be compensating according to drive those people's behavior such that they're willing to wait for the deal to come in, because there's usually a longer sales cycle, more people involved in the decision process. So there's different metrics and compensation you put in place to drive those behaviors.
Yeah, I think the other piece of this that really comes into play, especially this is where we worked last year, that we ran into this. The other benefit to having a sales compensation model is it allows you to make someone responsible for something, because at least in this one place, it's kind of like, who's responsible? Nobody. Well, actually, they thought everybody's responsible, which means nobody's responsible, and there was no individual goals.
So true.
It was just, it's kind of like, this was like such an easy play that it's like shooting ducks in a barrel, because it's like, whatever you're doing, everything was wrong. But it's compensation model also then allowed them to have some responsibility too.
Absolutely, because inside that, you're going to know exactly how many phone calls you need to make each day.
Yeah.
How many deals you have to close, average deal size. It also creates the sales funnel that they run their day off of. And yeah, it really begins to put that structure in place that makes them accountable. And to be totally honest, some people freak out when we do that. And yeah, they can't handle the accountability level, so they leave. Which, you know, okay, so then we identified you had the wrong person in there.
Yeah.
So when you start to put these pieces in place, there's also this natural cleansing, so to speak, that happens
sure
inside of the company, you know?
I'm aware
it's of that. Yeah. Kind of like a, yeah, some, I don't know, voodoo thing. But
right.
So and that's really powerful, because it'll help you identify if you have the right salespeople. And also just through the process of the product revenue model and a compensation plan and a sales process, you'll know whether or not you've got the right people in place.
Now, Velocity Partners, I guess one of the things is that I've liked about the way that your organization works is it seems like you're not in there for a year and a half or 2 years. You actually want to go in and talk a little bit about your process and how you want to do
it. Yeah, our goal, to be quite honest, is to get in and out in 45 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of view companies as blocks of Swiss cheese. So there's holes, right? Because we're all human, and
sure,
and you're going 100 miles an hour trying to grow fast and so forth. And some of these holes are deep and run everywhere, and other holes are fairly shallow. So we kind of go in and we look for the big holes that if we plug them, we're going to plug 90% of the other holes. And that's what we decide to take on, and that's what we talk to the customer about taking on. And then our intention is, as we do this process, we are teaching whoever we're working side by side with, which typically is a CEO of the company, a COO, and then the executive vice president level individuals. And we teach them so that they learn how to run these things when we're gone and how to use them in the next year's planning and so forth. So that is our intention, is in and out in 45 days. And so we've been very successful with it. If we're there beyond 45 days, typically because we've completed some component and there's some other areas that a client would like us to take on.
Yeah.
But we always find that if we don't get out of a company within a 3-month time frame maximum, then we've been absorbed into the culture and the thinking. So we always want to be in a place where customers get the best of us and then get out before we just become another drone walking the halls, so to speak.
Well, I think more than just a drone, too. One of the problems that you, if somebody's there much longer than that, what I think the company has the ability to do is make you responsible for the numbers,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to accept responsibility for the numbers.
Yeah, yeah. We've actually been in situations like where that's been attempted before. And
right,
and that is something that's very distinct with our company, is we do not own the numbers at all. That is the accountability of the people that are in the role. And if there's no one in the role, then it always trickles up to the CEO of the company or whoever's in the highest ranking position. So, you know, it's really important that we get out so that you're self-sustaining. And that's the whole intent, right? You're in this place, it's a little stuck, and you're trying to figure out how to get through it. You want to get accelerated, and that's what we're here to do. And then we're going to leave, because we're not maintainers, we're accelerators.
Now, if you're looking at the components that you're talking about, does that also give somebody who's a hiring manager the ability to maybe select better candidates to interview and better salespeople?
Absolutely. I mean, the information that we can give to an HR executive and to the sales manager, so that they can really bring in the right people, it's priceless, to be totally honest with you. We find inevitably that the hiring manager interviews less people, that the screening process is more effective, so that the investment in bringing people in for interviews is much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing just has a much more fluid and effective way of operating.
Yeah, I also think that the other thing that's a real hassle with this is turnover. And a lot of early stage turnover in employees is unrealistic expectations or not understanding expectations. But if you clearly have a good, well-defined process and you know what your compensation plan is, then the expectations should be pretty clear.
Exactly. And, you know, I would just offer up that if that's defined very tightly, you will get the best people in there that will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who doesn't want to take that job or says that the compensation model is a little difficult or whatever the excuses might be, then I would just move on to the next candidate.
Now, I'll put you a little bit on the hot seat with this. Have you ever run into a company that you basically looked at and said, there's just no way that I can do anything, they might as well just close up their doors? I mean, I'm assuming that there's always some way of being able to go in and help them out.
Yeah, you know, I've had moments where I've wanted to give up, there's no doubt. and quite frankly, there are some companies that we have not taken on because we just felt that the executive team was not in a space that they really got what needed to be done. And that's very critical, and I can't stress that enough. We will not work with a company that the CEO is not actively involved in the process and driving it. Because it will, if we do not have that, such that they take care of things when we're not there, it won't be successful.
Now, I think that, in thinking about that, that's a very interesting answer, because the answer didn't say that the market wouldn't support it, that the customers wouldn't support it, that the product line wouldn't support it. Your back-off point is, if the C-level team, especially the CEO, isn't somebody you think you can work with, that's an element for failure. So one of the things that anybody who's out there running their business is, you really need to think about that as you're trying to figure out how you get some help. Well, this has been sort of informative. I hope other people got something out of it. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I'll give you the website first and foremost. Sure. So you can take a look at us. We're at www.velocity, VelocityPI.com. So it's Velocity Partners Incorporated. And or you can call me directly in the office if you'd like, and that number is 619-297-3031.
Well, given that there's just a ton of companies around here and some of them are having some difficulties, I'm sure that there's no dearth of business opportunities. So I appreciate the podcast and wish you a lot of success in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Take care.
You too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this edition of SoCal Buzz. I hope you picked something up in listening to Lynn White as she was talking about sales and the things that that she knows that works and don't work within the sales process. Stay tuned over the next couple weeks. We'll be adding more business issues, conversations and interviews with entrepreneurs and investors. And until then, you take care.